The following program sponsored by Christian Training and Development Services, Hanson Chiropractic, Northwest Family Life, Ludeman Capital Management, Network Services, and Cannon Beach Christian Conference Center.
Hello, and welcome to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. Mike is an author, teacher, and conference speaker, and is president of Christian Training and Development Services. Creation Matters is dedicated to the teaching of the biblical and scientific truths about God's creation. In the beginning, God created, and for by Him were all things created. And now here's your host of Creation Matters, Mike Riddle.
Welcome back to another show on Creation Matters. I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and we have a very controversial topic for you again tonight. And matter of fact, all our topics seem to be very controversial. When you just mentioned the Bible, isn't that one of the most controversial books ever written? And it is controversial, but it does have the truth. But our topic tonight is going to be on UFOs and aliens. Is that a biblical concept? Have we been visited by aliens? Did life start on this planet by aliens? Does the Bible talk about extraterrestrials? Are we being watched by somebody outside our planet? So that's going to be our topic tonight, and I just want to give you a forewarning. Next week, all you students need to be listening, and you parents too, because next week we're going to talk about 20 logic errors and fallacies used by evolutionists. We're going to cut right to the chase, so you'll see how to have an open discussion with evolutionists and see through their logical fallacies that they commonly use. And the week after that, we're going to talk about reasons we should be homeschooling, reasons to homeschool. So we've got some power-packed weeks ahead of us, but tonight, UFOs and aliens. Does the Bible talk about UFOs anywhere? And if you have an opinion about that, give us a call on 800-955-8200. 800-955-8200. If you have an opinion about, are there really UFOs? Is there life anywhere else in the universe? Or does planet Earth contain all the intelligent life that exists in this entire universe? And if so, why would the universe be so big and only we be the only living creatures here? A lot of questions about that. But you know, there's an awful lot of people out there that believe in UFOs and aliens. Especially Hollywood. That's where they make a lot of their money off the UFOs, UFO stories. And NASA, did you know one of NASA's primary goals today is the search for life outside this planet, intelligent life? I think we should try looking on this planet first rather than going elsewhere, because I don't think we find it everywhere here sometimes. But that's just a personal opinion. But is there life anywhere else in the universe? There's millions of stories, millions of alleged sightings, notice the word alleged, sightings of UFOs. That's been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years, the idea that there exists life somewhere else in the universe. And one of the reasons for that is, did you know scientists today are in trouble, especially those, and let me put it, when I say scientists, I'm talking about the evolutionist scientists, not the scientists that believe the Bible. But the scientists who believe in evolution are in a tremendous quandary as to how life started. They can't figure it out. They just can't figure out how life could have started. So you know what they're saying? We must have come from outer space. They give that a name sometimes called panspermia. Panspermia. That is the idea that this planet was seeded from aliens from outer space. And we have our first caller here already, Susan from Linwood. How do you feel about aliens and UFOs?
Well, I do not believe that they exist. And because God didn't tell us about them, for one, I've done some study in Genesis, and it says right in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and then he went on to create out of nothing. And then he doesn't say anything about other planets that are populated. He only populated the Earth. And I think if that were true, that there was population elsewhere, and we needed to know that, it would be in his word.
Well, do you know, Susan, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you, but you know there's millions, if not billions, of people out there that would disagree with us on that topic.
I know.
There's so many people that have UFO sightings. There's been people that even say they were abducted and treated harshly by these aliens. But you did start with a place I like to start. In the beginning, God created. You know, that's our starting point. If you're going to believe the Bible, you have to start there. If you don't start there, then what in the world are you believing? You don't have a foundation. You know, I see that in a lot of churches today. They don't believe in the beginning God created the way it actually says it, that says he created it in 6 days.
Yeah.
You know, once people don't believe that, it's so easy to tear the rest of the theology apart.
And our loving God wants to communicate with us, and he gave us his word. He communicated right from the beginning, right with Adam and Eve, and continues to communicate and with us, and that's part of our DNA and so on. And I just think he's given us the owner's manual. We just need to read it.
You betcha. We do have the owner's manual, and I wish more people would read it, even more people that go to church. God bless you, Susan. I think you're absolutely correct.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you, Susan. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there's our first caller. They don't think there's any UFOs, and, you know, I agree with that. Now, that's the biblical answer. Does anybody have a scientific answer? Are there any beings out there that live on other planets? You know, there's religions out there that talk about life in other space. There's religions out there that talk about many, many, many gods. And each god has their own planet. So we need to discuss things like that. If that's true, then there's got to be aliens out there somewhere. Are there UFOs visiting this planet? We've had tremendous sightings, and let me take you to a place in Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, some of you may want to go read that. It talks about some amazing things that Ezekiel mentioned in Ezekiel 37. Some people have taken that to be a UFO right there in the Bible, because he describes right there in Ezekiel 37, he's describing wheels and wings and living creatures. Is that a UFO right there in the Bible? So we need to discuss things like that. Does the Bible talk about extraterrestrials? We'll need to talk about not only the biblical aspects of this, but, you know, we need to talk about the scientific aspects, because who created all the science? God did. We never should forget that God created the science, and he's not going to contradict himself. Well, we have lines open at 800-955-8200. That's 800-955-8200. And let's go to our next caller, Dan in Kirkland. Dan, how do you feel about UFOs?
Well, Mike, I don't believe they exist, but I wanted to point out, speaking of logical fallacies, I wanted to point one out from your first caller there. She's basically forming an argument from silence.
That's correct.
And I think it's damaging to the position that we have as Bible-believing Christians when we say, well, because God didn't tell us about it, that means it's not true. The Bible contains truth. The Bible is all true, but the Bible does not contain all truth, right? So the Bible doesn't tell me how to cook a chicken, right? But that doesn't mean that there isn't a right way to cook a chicken.
I agree with you 100%, but I don't want to be criticizing people because they take a belief in the Bible, but it is a logical error to argue from silence. But she started the show off, and I think she did a great job starting the show off, and I like the way you do point that out, and I like people who come from a good, logical sense, Dan. Wonderful. I wish we'd have more people that understood logic.
Well, I mean, like I said, I just think it does our position a little bit of a disservice when you say, I agree with you 100%, but in the same time, that's a great opportunity to educate someone, say, you know, I agree with your point, but the way you came about your decision is a little off, and let me tell you why.
Right.
And then you can take that opportunity to steer the person towards a more logical, way of reasoning.
Right. And, that's where the church should come in. We should have classes in the church that teach, not just UFOs, I'm not saying teach UFOs, but really get down and teach the logic of the Bible.
Absolutely.
And how to do arguing, or my favorite thing, Paul, he reasoned with the people over and over again in the Bible. Paul was reasoning with them. He just didn't go out and say, I the Bible says it, therefore I believe it, and that's it.
Right.
That's what really hurts the Christian faith. Now, our first caller didn't go that far. She believed the Bible, and, she actually gave a good scripture verse to start it off with.
Yeah.
And we could have ran with that one a lot further, because I planned to do that on this show, that in the beginning God created, and he did it in 6 days, rules out any possibility of UFOs out there, any real physical beings at all.
Right.
That's how I phrase that, real physical beings.
Well, hey, thanks a lot for taking my call, Mike.
Thanks a lot, Dan. God bless you.
Take care.
Well, let's go to our next caller, Nancy in Tacoma. How do you feel about these UFOs?
Hi. I think that it's a distraction that Satan has created to get people off track from what Scripture really says. And I grew up a Presbyterian, became a Mormon for 15 years, and then left that church. But Mormons have a real interesting theology and understanding about people becoming gods and all sorts of things about created beings. So it made me search my Bible trying to understand about what creatures God has created. And when you go through, there are certain things that God has created, you know, the cherub and the cherubim, and Satan was created with a specific purpose originally when he was, you know, Lucifer.
Satan had it made from the beginning, didn't he? Until pride came in.
And so the way that it's all set up in the Bible, as you go through and you can write down the different creatures and creations he's made, there's nothing in there at all scripturally that will acknowledge aliens. I mean, there's no way. And when you look at all the things that are going on in the last days to create distractions for people, what a perfect distraction for people to be running around on wild goose chases, chasing after aliens and all these things that they've done, you know, it keeps people off of reading their Bible and staying on track with what they should be.
I agree 100%, Nancy, that Satan is the great deceiver. Didn't he start off with the great deception? Ye shall be as gods, right there in Genesis chapter 3.
Exactly.
Exactly. And, you know, we have religions that follow that statement right now. So that's part of their doctrine. Ye shall be as gods, right there.
Yep.
Who said that? Satan.
That was the thing with the Mormons. And I mean, you know, when I've sat down and gone through Scripture specifically, I still have relatives that are Mormon. And when I've gone through those things and I've shown them, now, wait a minute, God created, and then I'll name off the different things. I mean, you go through Ezekiel, you go through Isaiah, you look in Revelation, you can see things he's created. We cannot become angels. We cannot become cherubs. Every single thing he's created stays what it is, except for Satan. You know, that was due to his own choice. He was cast down and changed as far as not being the cherub that covered.
He lost his position, didn't he?
Yes, yes.
But I agree.
And so nothing can transform, and we can't cross gender, whatever you'd call it, into other spiritual beings. So there's nowhere that aliens could possibly be, according to Scripture.
In other words, there's nothing out there that says there could be physical beings anywhere else in the universe other than this planet. But we do have angels, and we do have fallen angels, and we need to talk about that concept. Thank you very much, Nancy. I appreciate your calling in. Creation Matters. Give us a call, 800-955-8200. We still have a few lines open. Are we being visited by aliens from other planets? Are there other planets outside our solar system? I believe that might be true. Could there be life out there if there are other planets? Why did God make the universe so big and only put life here on this planet? So we need to take a look at the science and not just the Bible on this issue. Welcome back to Creation Matters. This is your host, Mike Riddle, and tonight we're talking about UFOs and aliens. Have we been visited by extraterrestrials, or is that just a Hollywood story? Well, I'd like to start with the biblical aspect on that. Our first caller was very good with the in the beginning God created. You know, in that statement, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created, and it talks about 6 literal days of creation. 6 literal days, and you know, God also wrote that down on the stone tablets in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, where he says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. So not only stated in Genesis chapter 1, he wrote it down on stone tablets that he created everything in 6 literal days. Well, you know what that means? That means the universe can't be that old. There's not enough time for aliens to travel anywhere, folks, so we got a big problem right there. Also, in God's creation, at the end of his creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, he pronounces it very good. That doesn't leave any room for death and decay or destruction before those 6 days of creation. So if you believe in billions of years, you just called God's word not true. You just called God's very good something other than very good. Also, the Bible clearly teaches there was no death before sin. No death before sin. Romans 5:12, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about death came through one man. So no death before sin. So where does that leave aliens? Were they dying before sin? That's a big problem. But you know another big one? At the fall, God placed a curse. He placed a curse. And that curse just wasn't on this planet. Because Romans 8, verses 21 through 22, talks about the entire creation is under this curse. The entire creation groaneth because of one man's sin. That means if there's little green, orange, purple, yellow, or pink men out there, folks, they're under the curse also. And did you know Jesus came to this planet, died for people on this planet, and not for anybody else? So that means a problem there. If everybody's under the curse and there's aliens out there, can they have redemption? Or are they doomed for all eternity to live without God? So there's some very good biblical evidences why there aren't any aliens out there. So if you have any questions, give us a call, 800-955-8200. That's 800-955-8200. But what about the scientific aspects? Because, folks, there again have been millions of alleged sightings of UFOs. But I'll let you know right now, most all of them can be easily explained. You know, one of the most common occurrences or mistakes for a UFO is the planet Venus. About 27% of all the alleged sightings of UFOs turn out to be the planet Venus right there. But let's talk about these aliens. To talk about aliens visiting this planet, I need to talk about something called a light year. Let's get into the science of this. A light year. Now, a light year is not time, it's distance. It's how far light can travel in a year. And that is about 6 trillion miles. That's how far light can travel in 1 year. We'll round it up to about 6 trillion miles. That's going about 186,000 miles a second. Well, let's get some little trivia here for just a moment. If you could travel the speed of light, you could circle the Earth 7 times in 1 second. You could go from the Earth to the Moon in 2 seconds. You could go from the Earth to Mars in 4 minutes. And it would take you 5 hours to reach Pluto, which is about 3.5 billion miles away. Now get this. The nearest star to us, Proxima Centauri, is 4.2 light years away. In other words, to travel to the nearest star going the speed of light would take you a little over 4 years to get there. Now think of this. If there was a planet there, and there's no planets that we know of going around this nearest star, if there was a planet there and there was intelligent life on that planet, and they decided to travel to our Earth here, and once they got here, they wanted to have some radio communications back to their home planet and get that response back. Did you know that would take 8 years to get that response back, folks? Because radio waves do not travel any faster than the speed of light. That right there rules out any possibility of this alien travel. And I think we've been watching a little bit too much Star Trek to get our science, folks. We need to get science back to the science classroom. And any talk of UFOs should be taken out of our science classrooms because it is not science. It is religion. And we're going to show that later in the show. And let's go to our next caller, Peter. You have something to say about UFOs here.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, as far as the speed of light goes, I guess you're looking at that from a standpoint of what our current science is. And isn't it possible that we could travel faster than the speed of light going through some time warp or something like that? But my real question is, if we find any life outside of the Earth at all, even if it's just some sort of moss or something growing somewhere, if you say there's no life, doesn't that mean then the whole Bible is not true? It just seems like we should, just because it doesn't say in the Bible that there's no life other places, doesn't mean we should automatically assume that.
Well, that's right. We absolutely cannot argue from absence of something. We can't do that kind of an argument. But you made a couple of statements there, Peter. One, you said, can we go faster than the speed of light in the past? Well, not according to any of the theories of relativity or anything. That's kind of a maximum limit right now because, you know, once you approach the speed of light, your mass increases indefinitely, so the mass just wouldn't work there. But there's no evidence we could ever, or anything's ever gone faster than the speed of light, and the idea of a time warp, again, is strictly from Hollywood. So we have to get back to the science on that and be very careful that we don't get infiltrated with Hollywood, because, you know, I think NASA has been infiltrated from Hollywood. Sometimes I think Hollywood's running part of NASA here. And
yeah,
Captain Kirk should run for the president of NASA, because I think that's where we're getting a lot of this life from outer space.
Yeah, but it's true. We should use our imagination that God gave us.
Nothing wrong with imagination, but when we're talking science, when we're talking Bible, we got to be careful not to add to God's word
right. And
not take and anything out of it.
The science as we know it today, E equals MC squared. The square is the speed of light, which is a pretty difficult concept in itself.
Yes, it is.
And to say that mass approaches infinity, well, maybe there's another dimension that we can travel in. It's like a time warp.
Well, again, Peter, that would be strictly Hollywood stuff, because we talk about wormholes and warp factors and warp speeds. That too much comes from Captain Kirk. And, you know, I don't mind talking about that, and I think that I love to watch those science fiction movies, too.
Yeah.
And I like Captain Kirk. However, we can't mix that with the
right.
truth of the Bible and the truth of what we know about science. And
the truth of science is just mathematics, and we haven't been able to test anything that approaches the speed of light. I mean, a lot of people say you get approach the speed of light and your mass starts to disintegrate, and you start, you know, going into a spectrum of light. As light, certain light frequencies travel at different speeds, and so you would your mass would start to change as you approach the speed of light.
Right. That's why we call it the theory of relativity, not
absolutely.
The fact or the law.
Absolutely.
It's only a theory. It may
so
still have
why
problems.
Why couldn't there be another theory invented to say that we could go and travel in a fourth dimension, travel within time,
well,
and not just travel within space?
That's because scientific theories require observation, must be repeatable, and no known exceptions. And they have to be able to predict what we see, too.
Right,
so,
through mathematics.
So anything, well, mathematics is a neat tool. My background is mathematics, but I like to start with the laws of science, the scientific laws. Those are the things that we actually observe, we can predict from them, and there's no known exceptions. Things like the laws of thermodynamics, the first and second laws, the law of biogenesis,
right.
Those are the things we can actually observe, and then we apply mathematics to it. That's where we got all our present-day science. We did the observation, the empirical science first, then we applied the mathematical formulas.
Is there empirical evidence of E equals MC squared, that energy can transform into mass and vice versa?
Well, we know matter, mass and energy can transform back and forth. That's not a problem. Mass and energy, we can transform back and forth. But the first law says it always stays in existence. The total sum
right.
of all the matter stays in existence, matter right. being a sum of mass and energy there.
Great.
Thank
well,
you for calling.
Very interesting. I appreciate it.
Thank you very
Thank
much,
you.
Peter. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Wonderful there. Wormholes, time warps, Hollywood, Star Trek. You know, when you speak about that, let me read to you just a little bit here, something I found in the Los Angeles Times, an article in their Parade magazine, talk about parallel worlds. And you know they're passing this stuff off as science. What they're talking about are multiple universes out there. Wait a minute, we can't even see everything in our own universe. There's so much we don't know about our own universe. They're going to multiple universes. And listen to this. Here's a quote from this article. And they say, in this scenario, a mother universe effectively gives birth to an independent daughter universe. Does that sound a little New Agey to you? Sounds an awful lot of New Age to me. And did you know most of this UFO stuff we see is rooted in the New Age? That should caution you folks that believe in the Bible out there. Where is all this UFO stuff coming from? Well, I'm going to get back to science. If you have some questions, give us a call at 800-955-8200 to give us your ideas about UFOs. Biblically, we see it is not biblical, but what about the science? Well, when we talk about distances, we just talked about the nearest star to us is 4 light years away. It would take 8 years to get a radio message back to the home planet and back to Earth. That's a long-running episode of Star Trek there, isn't it, folks? 8 years? But, you know, to go across our own Milky Way, it would take light 100,000 years to go across our own Milky Way. And get this, the nearest galaxy to us, Andromeda, the nearest galaxy is 2 million light years away. In other words, to travel the speed of light to get to the nearest galaxy would take 2 million years. You know, by the time we got there, everybody'd be dead. Folks, it just doesn't work. And the next nearest galaxy beyond Andromeda is 20 million light years away. How in the world could a spaceship travel that fast? Going the speed of light, it just does not even work, and we can't even go that fast, folks. And there's more and more problems to this whole distance thing. You know, Hollywood covers up. You know, Hollywood has an answer for everything, and I don't mind watching some of these science fiction movies, but, you know, we have to be careful not to mix the science fiction with science and not mix it into God's Word, folks. We need to be very careful there, science and science fiction. There's a very big difference between the two, science and science fiction. And, you know, it takes energy to make a rocket ship go that fast. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this energy that it requires to travel these tremendous speeds. And you're going to find out that's not very good for the UFOologist out there. Then we got stuff that's out there in space dust that's going to cause a very big problem. Give us a call, 800-955-8200, and give us your ideas about UFOs and aliens. Do they really exist? Welcome back to Creation Matters. This is Mike Riddle. We're talking about UFOs and aliens, and if you have a call, give us 800-955-8200. We still have one line open. And if you want more information about this, you can go to our website, creationmatters.org, and on there you'll see the left-hand side says Q&A, over 1,000 articles that you can get for free, 1,000 articles written by many scientists and theologians, and many of those articles are about UFOs and aliens. And we have a caller here, Jim, on a cell phone. You have a question for us.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I agree with you that the creation is fairly new as it's understood, but it says in Genesis 1:1 that God created the heavens and the earth. And you just spoke about the fact that the nearest galaxy is 2 million light years away. And I think our critics can ask the question, if that's true, then how can it be so new? And I've recently come across some information that might answer that, and that is the fact that Chuck Missler, M-I-S-S-L-E-R, who's a Bible-believing Christian and a scientist, has found new information that the speed of light is not a constant.
Well, I know Chuck very well, and Chuck, incidentally, is a believer in a literal six-day creation, too. And is light a constant in a vacuum? That's been a question for many, 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 many years here. And there was a scientist that came up with some information and did a lot of study on it that it may be slowing down, but we need to do some more research on that, Jim. There's still some open-ended questions and some math we have to work on there. But, you know, some evolutionists have made the same claim because they're in a big, they have a big, big problem with the Big Bang model and the stars being formed.
Absolutely.
They are now saying at the beginning of the Big Bang, the speed of light was much faster. Well, wait a minute. And then it slowed down to a constant. You can't have it that way, folks. The evolutionists are they're in a bigger trouble than we are because they also have a problem called the horizon problem there for them, which cannot explain the speed of light either.
It certainly takes a lot of faith to believe in goo to you by way of the zoo.
I like that one. Great one, Jim. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, sir.
And what about this distances and travel? If you have a call for us on UFOs, 800-955-8200, we have another call on the line. Rich from Lake Forest Park, what's your explanation of UFOs and aliens?
Yes, sir. The evidence leads me to believe that they're satanic beings. The reason being that they break all physical laws, all known laws, and there's no hard physical evidence. There's only just trace evidences, but nothing hard. And so if you bring it back to the Bible says that there's the prince of the power of the air, and there'll be signs in the heavens in the last times. And I don't know if you heard about the cattle mutilations, but I conclude that it's evil, it's satanic, and they're not holy beings sent from God. And my conviction is that the Bible tells us all relevant truth we need to know, which would fall into that the evidence lines up, that it would be answered by the Bible. I don't believe that there's something that the Bible doesn't tell about that we need to know about.
Well, the Bible doesn't talk about a lot of things, but I believe you're right on this. I believe they are satanic, the 2-3% that we cannot explain, because most of them can be explained. A lot of them are hoaxes, and some are weather balloons, like Roswell was a weather balloon, folks, in case you didn't know that. It is a weather balloon. But yes, they are very satanic because Satan can do a lot of things. We have examples in the Bible where satanic, the bad angels were indwelling in people, demons. But also Satan is the great deceiver. But you know, most all this UFO stuff, most all people that believe in UFOs are evolutionists. They don't accept the Bible as literally true. So there's a problem. I think Satan is going to be the great deceiver in all things. He's even getting people who believe in the Bible to be deceived. For instance, the whole idea in Ezekiel, where he talks about a wheel and a figures that he sees out there. But you know what they don't read is it's just an example given by God. God has given an example there. So it's not that Ezekiel saw something physical. It's just an illustration given by God. And they miss these points because they've been so influenced by other people who don't accept the Bible. And I agree that I think it is a very satanic thing because I think just like evolution is one of Satan's greatest tools he's ever had, he's now mixing in with UFOs and it's heading towards the New Age movement. Thank you very much for calling there.
Thank you.
Well, let's get to some of the other things. We talked about the distances are far too great for anything to travel, any human beings or any aliens to travel. You know, it takes a lot of energy to travel. You know, let's take a one-pound object. To propel a one-pound object to go just 50% the speed of light would take the equivalent energy of 98 atomic bombs. That's a lot of energy. In other words, to take the space shuttle, if you wanted to take the space shuttle to go near the speed of light, it would take so much energy that you could power 87,000 homes for a full day. That's a lot of energy. And then to get our fastest craft, the Apollo craft, it would take 870,000 years for it to reach the nearest star. Wow, why don't they come out with these figures, these UFOologists? Let's give them their religion there. That it just doesn't work. And to bring up things like warp factors, warp drive, or hyperspace is not an answer, folks. But you know, there's more problems with those people who believe in UFOs. First of all, we got the distances. Then we got the energy it takes to travel that fast. But you know, what happens when you want to slow down? It takes that much energy to slow you down, folks. You're going to crash into something. Why don't they tell us these things? That's because UFOology is a religion, folks, driven by, we believe, satanic figures there. There's nothing physical out there. But you know, here's another big one before we go to our next caller. What about stuff in space? You know, there's dust particles out there in space. They figure about 100,000 dust particles per cubic mile out there in space. You know, if you're going to speed of light, an impact with just one of these tiny dust particles would destroy a spaceship. Even at one-tenth the speed of light, the impact would be equivalent to 10 tons of TNT, folks. And you can't maneuver your way out of this, folks, because detecting objects going that speed would be virtually impossible. And how would you avoid them? Because to try and steer out of the way, we have something called G-forces. Now, 1G is equivalent to Earth's gravity. At 3Gs, you'd break a blood vessel. At 9Gs, you'd be dead. At greater Gs, the ship would just come apart. But changing speeds at the speed of light would exert millions of Gs on the spaceship, folks. Why don't they tell us that either? See, this whole UFO thing is nothing more than just a belief. Well, let's go to our next caller, Dan, in Maple Valley. How do you feel about UFOs and aliens?
I kind of go along with what the other callers and you yourself have said, that not everything that's true is in the Bible. And I believe that if something as significant as another life form in the universe were existed, that God would tell me I had brothers and sisters elsewhere in the universe. And as far as UFOs, I have a theory that you were talking about the great deceiver, Satan. Well, sometimes our military is a great deceiver, and wherever these UFO sightings are, it's always around these highly secretive military bases, and I think it's been created by the government to ward off anybody knowing about their secret advanced aircraft that they have,
well,
and that they're testing.
Well, we do have some places that the government likes to experiment with things, such as the Hangar 51 out there in that location 51. But you know, the government does need to do that for our own defense. They do need to keep secrets because we don't want the enemy getting a hold of some of these secrets and coming back on us.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying that's a bad thing that they're doing that, but I'm just saying that's one way of protecting their secrecy, I believe. They can just go out and investigate it like they're really investigating something, and they can say, well, it was swamp gas, or,
sure.
or well, maybe it was a UFO, but it certainly wasn't one of our advanced aircraft, secret aircraft.
Yes, yes, they don't want to give the secret aircraft away. And the whole U.S. Air Force Project Blue Book, their final conclusion was that there's no UFOs. But let me give you some of the things they did in Area 51 where they think there's all these UFOs and everything. That's a big sighting of UFOs. But, you know, the original concept of the U-2 spy plane was there in the 1950s. The SR-71 Blackbird was there. And America's new stealth technology and the F-117 stealth fighter, we believe, are being tested there. So it's all this new technology people have never seen, and people take it for UFOs.
Oh, yeah, and they say they're testing the anti-gravity stuff there. And,
right.
And they see these planes come out of there that do this high rate of speed and do 90-degree turns and come to complete stops and take off again. And I mean,
yes.
I believe in that the government should have secrecy, and I believe when they have a war that the military should not tell the press what they're doing. And, you know, I understand the... I'm just saying that might be a theory that the government has created this thing just to cover up their aircraft.
Well, very good. As a former Marine, I do agree we do need to keep some secrets because it's not the press that won the war on the battlefield. It was those military people, that the soldiers that went out there and paid the ultimate price to win our freedom
for us. That's for sure, and I think the press lost the war in Vietnam.
Yes, that could be true. Thank you so much for calling, Dan.
Well, thank you.
Well, we're going to go to a break here in just a moment. We come back from the break. I want to get from Wayne from Seattle on UFOs, and I want to talk a little bit more about the science of all of this, because we've seen right now it's just highly impossible for anybody to travel these distances, folks. We're talking millions of light years. It just can't be done. And don't talk about wormholes and all these warp speeds, because, folks, that is strictly Hollywood. When we come back... probability, and we want to go to Wayne in Seattle to talk about UFOs. If you've just joined us, this is Creation Matters, and we're talking about aliens and UFOs, and how does that square with the Bible? And that's the kind of music we're right there, folks. I believe there's an awful lot of Twilight Zone stuff going on around here. Thank you very much for that. And let's go to a caller. Wayne, Seattle, what do you think about UFOs and aliens?
Well, basically, the Bible states that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And I think a lot of people in Genesis have said...
Did we lose you there, Wayne? I think we lost Wayne there. Wayne, if you're out there, give us a call. We'll try and get you back there. But let's go to some more science here. We're waiting. And I want to make a quick statement before we get to science. You know, there's not been one... shred of physical evidence for UFOs, not one shred of physical evidence. Modern space agencies have admitted they have failed to find any real evidence. You know why? It's not out there, folks. It's not out there. Let me talk about a little science here. You know, there's a law of large numbers. I want to just touch on mathematics just for a moment. Not scary mathematics, folks, just big numbers. There's a law of probability, which is 10 to the minus 50th power. I'm going to turn around, just take the minus sign off so we can work with whole numbers here. What it basically says, 10 to the 50th power, that if the chances of an event to occur are greater than that number, that event will never, ever happen. 10 to the 50th power has been an arbitrary limit that people have set, scientists have set, that says anything beyond that will never, ever happen. But you know the probability, the scientists figure out the probability of one protein, which is not even close to a single cell yet, not even close to life, but the probability of one protein occurring by random chance is not 10 to the 50th power, but 10 to the 191st power, well beyond the law of probability, even to get a protein. But it gets better than that, folks. You know what they calculate is the probability of getting a living cell by random chance? 10 to the 40,000th power. Did you get that number? 10 to the 40,000th power. So far beyond the law of probability that anybody thinks life could start by random chance processes here on Earth or anywhere else in space is not thinking very scientifically, folks. They're thinking religiously. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. You know, one of the most famous evolutionists of our time, Francis Crick, one of the co-discoverers of DNA. Incidentally, he is now a wannabe creationist. He's dead. But we wish and hope that before he died, he did commit his life to the Lord. But here's his statement. He says the great majority of sequences can never have been synthesized at all at any time. See, Francis Crick, one of the smartest people in our generation, in the last century, fully said that life cannot start on this planet. It just couldn't happen. So where did life come from? He believed it came from outer space. Do you see what wrong thinking does to you, folks? You start believing anything. Many, many scientists and mathematicians fully agree that life cannot start by random chance processes. That means if you're thinking that there's life in outer space, folks, it did not get there by random chance processes. And the Bible gives a pretty strong clue it's not there also. Well, let's go back to Wayne. Wayne, we got you back. Thanks for calling back here.
No problem. Well, as I was saying, the Bible states that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And because he is, there was in the Bible, it also states that the sons of God saw that the sons of man, the daughters of man were fair, and took them as wives. And I believe there was a hybrid race of giants that was created. See, God sent Jesus for the race of man, the seed of man, to save them. He didn't send them for a hybrid race. And it seems like these UFO cases have to do with something with people being taken and implanted with something. I just think this is a trick of the devil, and people need to wake up.
You're exactly right, and you're referencing somebody, a group called the Nephilim back there. And, yes, one of the reasons we had the flood was to wipe out the Nephilim. That was one of the reasons, because things were so bad back then and very satanic. But it does say, as in the days of Noah, we're going to approach the days of Noah. And there's two things we have to be careful there now. As the days of Noah, it means they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving off all sorts of things and unaware of what was about to happen. So we're there. We have a lot of people today that are unaware of God's word and don't want to believe it and unaware of what's happening. And you see all this stuff happening in our society today that is dragging down society, just degrading society. We're trying to get rid of marriage, folks. Marriage is a biblically instituted concept there, folks. It is biblical marriage. One man, one woman. But let me talk about some other things. Thank you very much about that, Wayne. I want to carry on with some of the things Wayne just had to say. Nephilim, you know, sometimes the Bible translates that as giants, but the literal translation means fallen ones. Now, there's a lot of opinions on what those Nephilim were, and I'm not going to have a lot of time to get into it today. Some people believe it was real angels marrying down here, and other people believe it was people that were demon-possessed. And I don't have a specific opinion because I'm not one well-trained enough to talk about that, but I do believe Satan had a lot to do with it. That's the main concept. It was satanic, and Satan is doing whatever he can to take Christians' eyes off of God's word, even to compromise it from the very first chapter called In the Beginning God Created. He did a little 6 days. Satan has, I believe, has deceived many on that issue too, because folks, once you don't believe in six little days, you are saying there was death before sin and God's curse did nothing because it was already in decay. Folks, we need to get back to the authority of God's word and stand on it. And we're here to help you do that at Creation Matters. If you want to find out more information on that, you want to find out how to help us keep this message going on the radio, go to the website creationmatters.org. And on there you'll see a big icon about the Creation Matters and the website on the on our radio show, and you can help us keep this radio show on the air to give the truth out and not be bogged down in all these other things that are taking our eyes off of God's Word, folks. We need to stand on the authority of God's Word from beginning to end. But let me point out, how about this one? You know, they're looking for life on Mars. They're looking for life on Mars. Why? Because they think there was water up there. You know, get this idea. They think there was so much water on Mars, one time they called it a flood of biblical proportions. Even though we found no water on Mars yet, they called it a flood of biblical proportion, and no water was found up there. You know, this planet is made up of 70% of water, and they don't believe the biblical flood here. You see what happens when our thinking, when we don't start with God's Word first? So again, this is Mike Riddle at Creation Matters, and if you want to help us out, we have several great projects we're working on now. One is a brand new dinosaur project. Go to our website, creationmatters.org. You can read all about that. We're doing whatever we can to help you out there, folks, to get the truth and stand on God's Word from beginning to end, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He did it in 6 days. He wrote that down on stone tablets. And that should be our starting point to understand who God is. He is the creator of all things, and it's not just a Genesis story about that. That is a theme throughout the entire Bible. God is the creator of all things.
You've been listening to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle. the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.